Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from the beautiful studios of KKNW here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. It's so good to be back in the studio. Los Angeles last weekend was a wonderful experience, but there's no place like home, and it's a beautiful day here. The sun is just coming out, and the studio now has just lit up with this beautiful angelic light. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area. And we now have over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries. And I just want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful support. During the first hour from 2 to 3 p.m. Seattle time, I'll be interviewing my good friend Simon Parks, live from the United Kingdom. Then following his interview from 3 to 15 p.m., I'll be interviewing several people who will be at my Galactic Wisdom Conference here in Olympia, Washington on April 12th, 13th, and 14th, 2019. The conference will have some of the world's most amazing and famous spiritual healers and UFO people, including Simon. Simon will be giving a presentation by Skype for the conference. The cost for the conference is just $125. And if you'd like to register, please go to our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. The first day on Friday, April 12th is free, so if you don't have any money, come on down anyway, and you can meet all of our speakers at this world-class event. Then later today, from 3:15 to 4, I'll be interviewing a wonderful lady named Erin Elizabeth of Health Nut News. Erin is an amazing and courageous lady who believes in speaking the truth about health issues, and I know you'll really enjoy her interview. I want to thank everyone so much for their support for this radio show, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. And I just really appreciate everyone's help and support. I'd also like to thank Corey and Saul and Kirkland for their generous support, as well as my wonderful friends, Mary and Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, Jan Eric and Emma Louise in Norway, and everyone around the world who supported the program and help raise consciousness. I'd also like to thank the sponsors of this show. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers. Any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 90 countries. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who works hard in designing my website and providing wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, who I know are listening today, my angelic and earthly family, and of course Eric here at KKNW, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on or contact your guides and get some good, hopefully good spiritual advice, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. That's outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Or you can call me on my cell at 509-750-9793. My Galactic Wisdom Conference will be held again on April 12th, 13th, and 14th. Here in Olympia, Washington, with some of the world's most famous healers and UFO people. And after the conference, I'll be taking a small group of people to visit sacred sites and meet with Hopi elders in Arizona from April 20th to the 28th. We'll meet in Sedona and then travel north to the Hopi. The cost is just $200 per person, with half the proceeds going to the Hopi for clean water and the other half going to the nonprofit children's charity, the Emoto Peace Project, which is a nonprofit children's charity that teaches love and gratitude to children around the world. If you'd like to come, please send me an email at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I have some wonderful psychic fairs coming up. Briefly, I wanted to tell you about before we go on to Simon's interview. Tomorrow, on Saturday, March 2nd, and Sunday, March 3rd, I'll be giving readings at the UFO Summit at the Quinault Indian Casino in beautiful Ocean Shores, Washington. Then on March 9th, I'll have another psychic fair at 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia, followed by Hato Healing Sessions on March 16th with Michiko Hayashi from the Emoto Peace Project. Michiko will be here to give these healing sessions. If you'd like a session, please send me an email at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. This is a rare opportunity to get a Hato vibrational healing session from one of the world's experts, and it's the same process that Dr. Masaru Emoto used successfully to treat over 10,000 people before he passed away in 2014. I'll also be returning to Mount Shasta this year twice, from July 2nd to the 8th, and again from September 5th through the 11th. Mount Shasta is a very special and magical place where miracle healings occur from the Telosians and the beautiful people of Telos, and we always see many Sasquatch and many UFOs flying in and around Mount Shasta. The last time we were there, we were able to telepathically contact a Pleiadian UFO, and they did a dance for us across the skies. We asked them to shoot across the sky to the right, and they did, and off to the left, and then they disappeared somewhere out in the heavens. The cost is only $200 per person and includes free camping. While I was there, we often get many miracle healings. As I said, Adama, the high priest of Telos, healed the vision in my right eye. So today I have 20/10 crystal clear vision in both eyes. And before the healing, I had 20/50 blurry, farsighted vision in my right eye. And I'm so grateful for them. Denise Bartlett is one of the sponsors of this program. She's a wonderful person who offers hot or water healing and life coaching in the Portland, Oregon area. She creates customized water healing products with structured water, and she also has water workshops as well. Her website is www.hihado.com. Denise is a wonderful person, and if you'd like to try some of her hotter water or healing sessions, please send her an email or call her at 425-306-6316, or you can email her at denise.barrett, B-A-R-R-E-T-T, at hihado.com. And with that, I'd like to bring on my good friend Simon from England today. Simon, how are you doing?
Hello, Ted. I'm very well, thank you. Oh. Lovely to speak to you and lovely to speak to the audience.
Oh, it's so good to have you here today. For my listeners who are not familiar with Simon's background, he's a lifelong experiencer of aliens, shadow people, elementals, UFOs, including some mantis beings, Draconis reptilian, feline and small grays, crystalline beings, and other creatures that he says it can't be identified. So it's an amazing universe out there. Simon was an elected politician, served a full term of office, and both his parents worked for the British Security Services, as well as the National Security Agency here in the United States. And with that, Simon, we've had a lot of things going on, haven't we? It's been an interesting time, hasn't it?
Yes.
Understatement.
Yeah, you guys have really been busy. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of it's bad, but I think certainly there's been a great deal to talk about. For those members of your audience, Ted, who do get the chance to have a look at my website, they will have seen that I don't want to take any pleasure in this, but predicted the battle between Pakistan and India.
Right.
And a number of people sort of contacted me saying that they were due to fly there and were asking for, you know, what days might they miss out on. What we've had, fortunately, the Prime Minister of Pakistan, a man called Imran Khan, came on live to talk to India and basically asked them to, not to make it too bad. So he interceded, and that meant that the battle, instead of being a war, was more of a local conflict. And your listeners will know that a pilot was shot down, has been returned. And the key here, I think, is both China and America put pressure on their respective countries not to escalate this. So I think we will be very, very lucky, and I think that it won't get any worse. So that's good news on that.
Right. Yeah. It's an old conflict. Of course, when India was partitioned in 1947, the Muslim religion, Islamic faith, went to Pakistan. Many of the Hindus stayed in India, and they've had conflicts ever since. And I do hope they're able to achieve peace. I don't think anyone on this planet really wants a war, another one.
And no. Absolutely not. Who in their right mind would? Sure. What is interesting is my grandfather, mm-hmm. who was a British diplomat, mm-hmm. he was based in India, and he was one of the diplomats with the transition, working on the transition when India was ruled by Britain. We called it British India,
sure.
and it transferred to a sovereign state. Now, he was one of the few civil servants, British diplomats, who remained in India during the transitional phase because he got on well with Gandhi. And he actually reported back to the British Prime Minister at the time that the Kashmir The environment and the area of Kashmir was a recipe for disaster and war. And my grandfather's on record as trying to warn the British government that the creation and the way they were doing it would only lead to war. And unfortunately, they didn't listen to him because they had the greater political timescale. So it's just interesting for me that people on the ground could already see the problems that were going to come.
Oh, sure. Right. That's amazing. That's amazing, Simon. I've lived a total of about 2.5 years in India. The most recent time was in 2002 when I was there on a Fulbright grant, and I had to end my grant early because of a possible nuclear war, again, another war between India and Pakistan. I got my grant done and came back home early. But I hope that people, with the coming new age, Simon, and the increasing vibrations of the planet, that they'll find peace and learn to live in harmony without conflict.
Listen, Ted, I think if this had happened 10, 20 years ago, we would have had a full-blown war mm-hmm. between the two countries. But I think because consciousness has risen so high and so speedily in these last few years, it's helping to diffuse. So rather than a war, we're just getting a local conflict.
Sure. And that's, I don't like to see conflicts, but it's good it's a local conflict rather than a full-fledged nuclear war.
Yes, absolutely.
Because if there was a war, of course, China would probably come in on the side of Pakistan. We would come in probably on the side of India. Also, I don't know where Russia would be. Russia has supplied India before with support,
yes,
both financial and military support. So, I think that the planet itself is pretty tired of conflict, Simon. So I think you're right. I don't think we'll be seeing a war there because cooler heads have prevailed. And actually, I guess that leads me to my next, I have a whole bunch of questions for you today. It's sort of built up over the weeks. With the recent visit of President Trump to North Korea, I still see them working out an agreement in the future. I don't know how you feel, but I still see them working out an agreement.
Yes, it's just brinkmanship. It's just how you play a game of cards.
Sure.
South Korea made a statement today saying that they didn't see this as negative at all. Mm-hmm. They said this is the most dialogue that anyone has ever had with the North in 50 years.
Wow.
So the south part of the land is actually saying, we don't see this as an issue, we just see it as part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what isn't appearing in the news, and I want to just give your listeners some extra, a bit of news that I don't think they'll find in the American media.
Sure.
President Trump made a statement, and he said basically that the North had offered to decommission their enrichment plant. This is a nuclear facility that enriches uranium. And the deal was that North Korea said that they would decommission that if President Trump would take all the sanctions off.
Mm-hmm.
And President Trump made a public statement saying that he was no way was he in a position to give them that, so he walked away from the meeting. Now, that's actually true, but I can add something to it, which clearly he didn't want to make public,
mm-hmm.
was during the meeting behind closed doors, President Trump told the North that he was aware that they had a second enrichment plant.
Oh.
And that they were only offering the decommission of the first plant because they knew they would have this second plant to operate. Now, oh. Apparently the meeting was totally stunned that the Americans had that information. The North did not think that the spy satellites of the US had picked up the second enrichment plant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason that President Trump refused to play along with them was he said you have to decommission both your facilities.
Hmm.
That's why he walked away, because they were so totally shocked that the Americans knew they had two secret bases. And you know yourself, if you want to bug someone's hotel room, you put a bug that you know they'll find, and then you put another bug that they won't find. So when they find the bug that you want them to get, they say, oh, that's great, we've got the bug, we're safe now. So what the North did was they put an enrichment plant which they knew would be spotted, and they had the second one hidden. But because the Americans found that, that's why the meeting came to an end. But you won't, I think, find that in the newspapers or on the internet for the US.
Ah, interesting. Okay, all right. Okay, well, that's amazing. That's amazing. Wow, all these things that we don't realize. We don't realize.
And then we've got the other situation, of course, where some people refer to them as the deep state or the cabal, are looking now to see if they can impeach the president. So that's back on the table. But what's coming out is that the Mueller inquiry is not going to be able to shed any light or prove that President Trump had a collusion with Russia. Mm. So the difficulty is for those who don't like President Trump is that in order to get an impeachment, they would have to have concrete evidence or proof that there was collusion with Russia. And the investigation, although it's not fully public at the moment, I am understanding that the investigation has not been able to uncover any evidence to show that President Trump himself was personally involved in any collusion. Now, there are people around him who have been found guilty, but as the person of the president, he has not been found guilty, which means there'll be no impeachment.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. Huh, that's amazing. Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard those rumors around, going on now. Well, yeah, thanks for sharing that. They keep bringing that up. The Russian investigation keeps going on. I don't know how much longer it can possibly go on. Simon, there doesn't seem to be anything there.
Well, I'm sure that there have been people around the president who for whatever reason have done what they've done, and they've been found out. Mm-hmm. And that's quite right and proper, but the investigation has been that thorough and that deep that you would have expected people of Mueller's quality and the people around him of that high caliber to have uncovered everything by now. And the very fact that they haven't found anything on the president of any worth. I mean, yes, there's this payment to shut up a woman from talking. That's very different from something that affects the running of government. That's something very different. And, you know, we've seen people coming out publicly now saying that when President Trump was elected, American people at high office sat round and thought, how can we get rid of the president? Mm-hmm. That's actually called treachery. Sure. That's actually un-American. And I said on my website, British people and the European people don't understand the term un-American. They don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. But I know what it means, and an American knows what it means. It doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. You do not become un-American to remove a president just because you don't like him. Sure. That's actually treachery. And if anybody is proven to have acted in that manner, they're the one that needs to do 20, 30 years in a prison.
Right.
So I'm saying as it swings and roundabouts here. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing that. We're seeing the situation where President Trump called the state of national emergency, and I did predict that, and on my website, sure. I think I got it to within 2 days or 3 days, sure, when he did it. Mm-hmm. And he did say in his press statement that he consulted with some of the generals of the army, and he said, look, you know, is this a project that you happy to support? And he said the generals said to him, we think it's very important, and we support you. Now, the reason he went public was he's telling some of the very nasty people in America that the military are behind me, so don't try and drive a wedge between me and the military, because the military see this as important. So there's really been dramatic happenings in your country over the last 2 to 3 weeks. It's been phenomenal.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, I guess this leads me to my next question is Benjamin Fulford and David Wilcock. I read your post and I read what you wrote, Simon, and also to that you wrote that you agree with David that there's a new push by what David calls the deep state trying to divide the spiritual community.
There's been a massive attack right across the board on all spiritual people. Uh-huh. The bad guys must have dredged every last dime they could of energy, and they've hit out at a large number of us across the globe, people who are trying to bring the truth out are being put under the hammer at the moment. That's just part of the course. That's what happens. But what I was saying in my post, because I didn't want to signal anybody out, from time to time, good people get fed information. And unless you're very critical with that information, you have a danger of putting out something which at a later date comes back to bite you, as we say in Great Britain.
Sure.
In other words, we have to be super cautious. Now, I have always supported President Trump simply because I have no evidence that he has ever once abused a child. I am fully aware that other senior politicians in the United States have done that. I'm not saying that President Trump is an excellent person. I'm sure he's done financial deals. I'm sure he's done everything else. But I can live with that because that's America, and that's what America is. What I can't live with is children being hurt. Now, I know the evidence I've received shows that he's never been involved in that. Now, whether he's close to Israel or close to this country or that country, quite possibly is. But I don't believe that the American generals who hold the constitution of your country in such high regard would ever support a president who they couldn't feel comfortable with.
Sure.
Any disagreements they've had have been on policy issues. When President Trump has said he wanted to pull soldiers out, some of the generals didn't agree with that. That's normal. That's sure. what armies do. They argue. But I can't believe any of the generals would continually support a president. The whole point about them supporting Trump was because he was different from everyone else. So I cannot go along with some of the statements that have been made about President Trump.
Well, thank you so much, Simon, for explaining that. That's really important. I think the cabal, or whatever you want to call them, are getting desperate. I know that I watched a YouTube video about 3 weeks ago with David Wilcox, and he said that his life had been threatened. And Corey Good as well, who's an insider in the Secret Space Program. I can't remember who it was, whether it was the Rockefellers or the Rothschilds, said that they wanted them to stop talking. They wanted, in particular, David Wilcox to stop talking, or else they would eliminate him. Basically, that's what they said. But he's still talking. So,
you see, when David was part of Gaia TV, and he's in his own words. I mean, I've got a lot of respect for David Wilcox. I really have. And he said in his letter of resignation, and incidentally, I was one of the few that got the letter given to me. The day after it was written. And he said, look, I appreciate that I was somewhat trapped by Gaia, because he said they paid me a regular wage. I couldn't earn any money anywhere else. And so I was therefore trapped in the system. I needed the wage. Therefore, I worked for them. And he said that. But what's gone on here is that while he was with Gaia, he was going down a certain road, a road of marketing, and it wasn't so much bringing the truth out about individuals or organizations. It was more about what I would call sensational material.
I see.
Such as the Nazca aliens, for instance, which played very well to a television show. So when he left Gaia, he was now a free man. He was a free agent, and therefore there's elite in the land who are now thinking, oh, we thought we'd shut him up. We thought we'd given him a toy to play with, but he's broken free from it. Now he'll be coming for us. And that's why he's now back on the hit list.
Oh, interesting. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, he was supposed to come to the Conscious Life Expo last weekend in Los Angeles, but neither he refused to go. Both he and Corey Good refused to go. So I was kind of wondering, and now I know. Thank you for explaining that, Simon. We've got there's so much going on today, right now. We've got a bunch of questions, and also I wanted to look down here. I took notes on here's something on from your website about the Pope fighting bat. I was amazed to read your post on February 23rd about Pope Francis, that he was removed from exercising any authority from within the Vatican.
Yes. Right. What happened previous to this was a cardinal, as the highest ranking Roman Catholic, was, they call it, defrocked or derobed. And the Pope said that he was removing this cardinal from the position of the Catholic Church. And it's the highest ranking for attacking children. This man is accused of hurting babies
Oh
and
my God.
children. So the Pope bowed to pressure and removed him from the Catholic Church. Now, I understand that this was the final straw for the people in power, because they said the Pope is supposed to protect the Catholic Church regardless of what sins it does. No matter what we do, we expect the Pope to protect us and not throw us to the public. So three cardinals got together, and who all exercise considerable power within the Vatican, and basically they gave him a fait accompli, and they said that you can either stay as head for the public, but we will have the control, or basically we'll get rid of you. So he decided that he would stay. Now, here's the horrible part. I do believe that there was some form of sacrifice done by these three to bind this process together. Now, the reason that they.
Sacrifice meaning a human life was taken?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh my gosh.
And what's interesting is that the Pope then fought back, because the post that I then followed it up with was the Pope did a speech, and the Pope, and I can't quote him exactly, but if people go, they'll find it. The Pope basically said that Satanism was like child torture, or Satanism was child sacrifice. And what he was doing was immediately attacking back at these people, saying, I know what you've done, or I know what you're doing, and unless you back off, I am going to use the medium of the television or the newspapers, and I'm going to start spilling the beans. So that was his speech was a direct attack on these three cardinals who removed him from influence within the Vatican. So the Vatican's now at war with itself.
Interesting. Wow, that's amazing. Do you know the names of these three cardinals?
I
Would it
do have the three. I do have the three names.
be? Okay.
I'm very happy to email them to you, simply because I think one is a German.
Okay.
One of the cardinals is in charge of all the finances, which makes perfect sense. That's why he's so powerful.
Okay.
So, and I think only one was Italian, one was German, and one was something else. But I've got the names, and I can very happily let you know them. I just can't remember them off the top of my head.
Okay. All right. You can email me during the show and
Yes, sir.
I thought I'd share that with my listeners.
Oh yeah, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem, them knowing. I just can't remember the names.
Okay. Thanks, Simon. Thanks so much. There's a whole bunch of questions that have come in the last couple of weeks, and would you like to touch on anything else before we
Let's
go to the
do them. Let's
question?
get as many done as we can. I think it's so nice that people have taken the trouble to write in.
Yes. Okay. Great. Great. This is a question from Marion. I hope you're listening, Marion. I'll read it. Hi, Ted. Hi, Simon. Many thanks to both of you. My question for Simon: recently, President Trump spoke on behalf of speeding up the availability of 5G and even 6G toward making the technology available. It has been suggested that there's a connection between 5G and 6G and the wall, that together these will create some sort of frequency protection in the U.S. Simon, what can you comment about this? I know we spoke about 5G, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and you said that actually, as people spiritually progress, they'll be able to communicate telepathically, so the whole need for a 5G system will not be needed anymore because we'll communicate telepathically. But would love your
Yeah, so
comments.
sure. I mean, if we took everyone's cell phone away from them, a sizable portion of the public would become telepathic anyway, because if you can't use your cell phone, you've got to find another method to communicate. Right. What's very interesting is that I am hearing some news that President Trump apparently has had a briefing from, I don't even know who it is, but he's had a briefing giving him the dangers of 5G.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, he's received a briefing that the hidden agenda behind 5G, and he is now consulting with those he trusts, trusts as to how 5G can still operate mm-hmm. with the benefits that people would expect with their cell phones, mm-hmm. But blocking the negative use of those frequencies. Mm-hmm. So he still wants the 5G, but he's now looking to see if, because I understand he's accepted the briefing he's been given, I understand he accepts it as true. Mm-hmm. He's not questioning it. Okay. And now he's looking in motion to see how that negative aspect, if it can be stopped or taken down. Mm-hmm. So that's, I've had that confirmed. But I don't know the technical process or how long that would take. Mm-hmm. So that is excellent news. Mm-hmm. It means that if it can go ahead, then we can actually have 5G, and we'll still be affected by the waves of 5G. Don't misunderstand me. Mm-hmm. But the part I was concerned about was negative entities being able to masquerade within the 5G network. Now, that's the element that Trump's been alerted to, and that's the element that he says that he's going to take action on. So whilst we would still want to protect ourselves from these ever-increasing waves of energy, the real demonic side behind it, I understand Trump has accepted and is going to do something about it. And as I get more information over the coming weeks or months, I'll certainly let you know, Ted.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate you briefing us all that. That's something we don't hear about here in mainstream news.
That hasn't been heard of in Britain either.
No.
That hasn't been heard anywhere at the
Amazing.
Moment. So you're the first guys to get that from me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Simon. Is there an attempt to put in a 5G network in Britain as well?
It's worldwide. Absolutely. The masts are already up, but they're not operational in Britain.
I see.
Except in three or four trial areas. Mm-hmm. But the masts are there, or they have been reconverting masts. So they're using a regular cell tower, but they've been putting in whatever they need to do to put it up to 5G.
I see. Interesting. And this next set of questions comes from my good friend Ulrich. He's outside Frankfurt in Germany. He's with your Connecting Consciousness group in Frankfurt. Hello, Ulrich. I know you're listening today along with Marius. He has a lot of questions about geoengineering and about the chemtrails. And, of course, this has been going on for some time. Do you know when this is going to stop? And from your sources, do the world leaders know about it, and do they care? Does President Trump, for example, know about chemtrails, and is there any effort to stop that from his end?
Right. Today I had a meeting with somebody who had come from Russia. They came to the house. We had a two-hour meeting, and they returned back to the hotel, and tomorrow they're back off to Russia. This person had a meeting with President Putin some 3 days ago. Mm-hmm. And I asked him specifically about, interestingly enough, Ted, about chemtrailing in Russia, and his opinion was that there is no or very little chemtrailing in Russia.
Wow.
So that doesn't surprise me, but I wanted evidence. What I'd love is lots of photographs from people in Russia taking pictures of the skies sent to me, because I would like to see how clear those skies are compared to the US or Great Britain. Now, to answer the second part of the question, mm-hmm. We all need to try to get a handle on why they chemtrail. There certainly is an element of putting very horrible stuff in there, and I've never shied away from that. I've always accepted that there is stuff there which is not good for humanity. But the vast majority of this chemtrailing was not done to kill humanity. I want to make that absolutely clear. That was not their intention. Chemtrailing was not designed to kill people. It was designed to put heavy metals into the atmosphere, not so we breathe them in and they kill us, because they weren't even thinking like that. It was designed to allow ground radar to detect alien spacecraft entering from the fourth dimension or any dimension and coming into this atmosphere. And when it did so, all the minute particles of aluminum would be agitated. And although the alien spacecraft wouldn't show up on the radar, the agitation around the craft would show up. So on a radar screen, they would get a return or a blip, but it would show like a ring donut. So there would be appear to be nothing in the center, but this ripple of energy around the outside. So the chemtrailing in Britain and America and Europe is designed largely to detect that. Now, President Putin refuses to have much of this chemtrailing. He's outlawed it. They have a different technology to detect alien spacecraft. They have a plasma-based Tesla type of technology, so that when the alien spacecraft comes into their airspace, they detect it in a different way. So the West went down the road of aluminum, heavy metals, and Russia went down a Tesla-type technology to detect the craft. So therefore, the Russian people, their health generally is much better than the health of the people in the West, because we are breathing in these tiny, minute particles of metal, and the Russians are not. So I hope that answers your question.
That's a fascinating answer, Simon. Thank you so much for sharing that. I know firsthand experience living in an area where there was heavy chemtrailing by the U.S. Navy. This was in eastern Washington, here in the northwest of Moses Lake, Washington. The chemtrailing was so severe with aluminum, for example, that it was like 10,000 particles. It was like 10,000 times what it should have been in any kind of background background area, and with the result that many people were getting Alzheimer's, dementia. There was all kinds of health effects from the barium and strontium being sprayed. A lot of babies were being born stillbirth, dying because of the heavy metal spraying, which I think they're still doing today as well. I left there about 5 years ago, and I was very happy to leave. I was getting sick all the time. But thank you for explaining that. That's something we wouldn't get on CNN here. I've got some more questions. This is from a gentleman named Stephen. Steve says, "Hey, Ted, if you would, please ask Simon about higher dimensional beings navigating our density slash dimension by projecting their consciousness as a small, roughly 80 millimeter diameter semi-invisible spear."
Spear. As in spear, as in a throwing spear?
As a throwing spear, yeah. S-P-H-E-R-E. That's right. Uh-huh, like a throwing spear, like a round ball.
Right, okay. I have absolutely no knowledge on that at all.
Okay.
When an entity from a higher dimension sends its consciousness here,
right,
it will normally arrive as a circle. That's why I'm confused, because we would say the word sphere.
Mm.
I'm just wondering if he's made an error and he means a sphere rather than a spear.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not clear, because generally the consciousness arrives here and it's in a globe shape, a sphere. That's how it normally arrives. It does not, to my knowledge, arrive in the shape of a spear.
I see. Okay.
So
all right.
It could be an issue there. But anyway, that's my answer.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll have more follow-up. Stephen, if you're out there listening, just send me a follow-up and I'll be happy to ask Simon the next time he's on my show. There's another, I missed this, there's another post on your website too. Iran foreign minister resigns. That was on February 25th. And you write, "I'm taking this as the first playing out of a credible threat of war between Israel and Iran, with key players Saudi Arabia and U.S. in the wings." Love to hear you explain that a little bit further.
Yes, it's not always good news, is it? Mm. The gentleman that I spoke to today, who had been talking to President Putin just 3 days ago, he'd also had a connection with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And the rather worrying news is he said that the Iranians are preparing for war. The Iranians expect to be attacked. And he said that when he was talking to these engineers, I can't go any further than that, but he was discussing with these engineers, and they said that they were, the country was expecting at some point for a war. So that I got that information today. And if I look back at the post that you've just pushed me up on, which is the Iranian minister resigning, it's rather backing up that I think that the country's, well, I'm not saying there will be a war, but they are preparing for one.
I see. But in the current climate, like between India and Pakistan, do you think there will be other countries who will come in, like Russia or China, to try to mediate any kind of conflict?
The difficulty that we have is because America absolutely is in bed with Saudi Arabia.
I see.
Because they need protection for their oil. America did try a couple of years back to see how they could manage the oil situation, and they realized that without Saudi Arabia, they wouldn't be in a strong position. So Russia is looking to have an oil pipeline that comes via, via that area, and they could then sell that oil to places like India and China. So Russia is actually quite supportive of Iran because they want to secure their oil. Mm-hmm. They don't want a situation where the only oil coming onto the planet through the refineries is coming through an American position. So Russia is backing Iran, and Israel is having partial backing from America, but Saudi Arabia is getting full backing. So the key here is how Israel will act as a government. That is the be all and end all here. That is the signal to be watching for. Any war that occurs, we will see it hotting up in Israel first of all. So you look for rhetoric, look for military drills, the usual signs that preclude some form of peace situation, so that they're going to move straight to a military position. I'm not saying that it will happen, but I am saying that people on the ground are openly talking about this.
Interesting. I guess this leads to my next question somebody just sent in about the war in Yemen, which, as they say, is a proxy war between Saudi Arabia and it's again, it's a religious war. Apparently, they don't like the religion in Yemen. They're trying to wipe the people in the country out. Could you tell us a little bit about that, Simon?
Yep. The problem is that these just doesn't make the headlines.
Right.
Two reasons. One, because it's not downtown. And it doesn't mean anything to anybody generally, except those who have a connection to that country and that way of life. Mm-hmm. And also because America and the West is desperate to keep Saudi Arabia on board when that person was murdered in that embassy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. In Istanbul.
The Saudi government was not taken to task on it. I don't like what President Trump said, but I respect it, because what Trump said is, when I look at the difference between going for the legal side and the huge amount of money that America is going to make and the jobs it's going to have and the increased standard of living through all the arms sales, Trump said, I was elected on making America great again. And, I'm not going to turn down $3 billion dollars from Saudi Arabia. Mm. So basically he said, I'm not going to investigate this. I'm not going to push for it because I don't want to jeopardize this huge amount of money, which I think will help to make America great again. At least he had the guts to come out and say that, whereas most other politicians would have pretend to have a sham view. So what I'm saying is that there is a war going on. The person who's written in is exactly right. But unfortunately, the world's media is not picking up on it, mm-hmm. because they're being told not to.
Sure. Okay. Great. We've got two different questions from emails from two different listeners. One is Saskia in Dresden, Germany. Hello, Saskia. You asked about your husband, who seems to be being attacked by many, many different demons. Is there a way that we can protect ourselves from demons or get rid of them? I know you've talked about that before, but kind of a general question.
Okay. There are some ways. It depends on, first of all, the demon.
Okay.
It depends on the agreement or condition that means that individual is being attacked by that being. The best way really would be to email, if the person wants to email me, and then have a Skype consultation. I would quite happy to do a 5-minute free Skype consultation to see if it's a sort of thing I can help with. If I recognize the energy of the demon, then I can do something about it for her, no problem.
Okay, great. I will send I'll send her and her family an email, and then they can get in touch with you. A follow-up to that is Marion. I'm not sure where Marion is, but she says, no, wait a minute. No, there's another one here. Let me get this here, because we went over Marion's question. Here we go. This is Carolina, who just came in. She writes, 10 years ago, I had a terribly sudden and scary feeling of not finding meaning for anything in life. It took me a whole year to reconstruct my mental ability to recover from a medically unexplained debilitation. Do you think my soul was changed, or I could have integrated a part of my soul that was in another life experience? Thank you. Love to both.
There's so many possibilities. One could be your soul has changed. You've had what was called a walk-in, and I would know that if you had photographs of yourself before and after, and I could tell you that straight away.
Sure.
The other possibilities are that you may have been doing something, or you may have come into contact with somebody,
right,
and that has caused you completely to shift or change. It may be that you've undergone some form of memory change or soul change. Other than a walk-in, it may have been some form of development. You see, sometimes on the third dimension, our bodies act in a way which we think is negative,
mm-hmm.
but actually it's just the body trying to adjust and recalibrate and catch up. But without more detailed information, I can't really tell you whether or what it was. If I was to sit and talk to you,
right,
I would be able to tell you what it attacked you, when it attacked you, who it was, how it was, and how best to deal with it.
Sure, sure. Okay, all right, thanks. Fair enough. This is another question from Lily coming in from Texas. She said, okay. She writes, why is it that I do not attract money? For the last couple of years, I've been in severe financial distress. I have a large credit card debt and no income.
Okay.
How can I increase my financial well-being?
Okay. I don't have a problem answering that. Some people might say that's not very spiritual, to all you'd be concerned about is money.
Right.
And that's not the right way to be. However, I don't go with that, because this is a third dimensional planet, and without resource, money, we can't survive.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I think that's a legitimate question. And although I know a lot of New Age people would be cross with that, I'm not. I think I understand that, and it's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We can be attacked for a number of reasons. It could be that we have chosen to be a good person, a spiritual person, and therefore the status quo of the energy of the planet. The planet is good, but the control system around it is negative.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be that we are being attacked for that. It could be that you have a demonic entity in the house or the apartment, mm-hmm. which is affecting you. It could be that there are members of the family targeting you. Again, without sitting and talking to you,
sure,
I can't be sure. But
sure.
But it's not difficult. It happens an awful lot. It's very common, and there are solutions.
Okay, good, Simon. I have someone named Christine from the UK who asked a series of questions. In the interest of time, we've got about 8 minutes left.
Okay.
Please ask, love your show, love having Simon on. Please ask Simon what he knows about the rumors going around that there is a group of extraterrestrials of inner earth beings living within the human community in California. I understand that they were in the areas where those dreadful fires were, and they were there as an experiment to see if integration was possible. Could this be true? Thank you. Right, blessings, Christine from the UK.
Right, it's true, except they weren't there during the fires to see about integration. They were there because they were attempting to target the negative forces that were deliberately starting the fires.
I see.
I can't say it's a war, it wasn't a war, but there was certainly intervention from good forces, and that is one of the reasons why suddenly the fires, the ferocity of the fires died down remarkably quickly.
Mm. I see. Okay, good. Another question from Christine, and it's fine, Christine, if you want to send me many questions. So she writes, I think we talked about this already. Benjamin Fulford's newsletter was extremely negative about President Trump, and contrary to Benjamin's previous newsletters. I was wondering if Benjamin was safe and well, or has he been, quote, got at?
It's a good question. I think it's very difficult if somebody has been pushing a line for a very long time, and then all of a sudden just completely changes course.
Sure.
That is very, very disrupting. And we would have to ask the question, why didn't that person detect that earlier on? I've been consistent over the last 3 months and said that I support President Trump, but I'm very concerned that we haven't got the indictments opened in a large enough number or in the eyes of the public. I know the indictments are being opened, but many of them are being dealt with in secret. And what I've said is that I'm not happy with this. So I do criticize the president and I do criticize the system, but I would never do a complete change. And I think it's very, very disrupting when people follow somebody and they get this message and suddenly it all turns on its head.
Interesting. We have one last question from Canada. This is a question gentleman's in Saskatchewan. He's asking about the predictions of a minus 70 degrees Celsius temperatures this month in Canada, and which would extend into the United States.
I all I can tell you is that I have been told that there is a large weather alteration program, but I have not been told where it's going to be held.
Okay.
But there is a plan to alter the weather again.
All right. Well, hopefully that we won't freeze to death. So, is this? I mean, it's kind of a joke. My friend, we had a terrific snowstorm here a couple of weeks ago, where we had like, up to 18 to 20 inches of snow, Simon, and that's very unusual here. My friends and I were all joking that this was evidence of part of a global warming. You know,
I saw the pictures. People very kindly sent me the photographs.
Yeah.
I replied. You see, I said President Trump is right to stick his fingers up at global warming. There is no global warming. You've had some of the coldest weather that you've ever had.
Wow. Yeah, I know. Well, what I have a lot of birds at my place, and so what I did, I made little wool caps for them. I put it on their heads to keep them warmer, and they like that. I put out food for them, too, so, and hot coffee and chocolate. But anyway, one last thing. Many people been sending you, I've asked in my last couple of shows, Simon, to send you lots of love and light, you and your cats, lots of love and light because of your tooth. How's your tooth doing, by the way?
The doctor dentist decided to pull it out, so a few days ago I had it pulled out because it was just couldn't do anything with it. And that's the first tooth I've ever had pulled out in my life. Mm-hmm. And when I told them that, the doctors couldn't believe it. They said, how come you have never lost a tooth? They said, this is almost unheard of. And I just shrugged my shoulders and said, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Apparently that's really amazing that I've not, it's my first tooth they've had to pull out.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better now. You don't have any pain or anything?
No, I had pain for the first 2 days.
Okay.
But it's getting better now. So thank you to everyone who was concerned. And, you know, I'll always take love off good people. I don't have any problem with that. If people want to share their happiness or to send some light to me, then I'm very grateful. And because, you know, we all need help from time to time.
Right.
And not too proud to ever say no.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Simon, we've got about a minute left. I wanted to tell you, I was going to have Marianne Williams on my show next hour, but she's, well, I'll have her in a couple of weeks. But I have Aaron Elizabeth. You're welcome to stay on after the top of the hour if you like. I know it's late there, and just introduce yourself to her briefly. But I know it's late, so I want you to get a good sleep too. So if you want to go.
It's really kind. I won't, not because I'm disrespecting your next speaker.
Sure.
Or disrespecting you. It's just it is late here now, and you know it's 11 o'clock in the evening. Now that may not sound late to you guys, but you know, I had this chappy over from Russia today, and we were having a talk.
Sure.
So I'm quite tired now. So listen,
okay.
God bless to you, Ted, and to all your listeners. You're wonderful people. And, you know, lots of strength to you. And thank you so much for inviting me on today.
Oh, absolutely. It's always fun to have you on, Simon. We look forward to talking to you again in a couple of weeks. And I'm glad that your tooth is much better.
Thank you.
God bless. Thanks so much, Simon. That was Simon Parks coming to us live from England tonight. In a few minutes' time, I'll be bringing on Erin Elizabeth of Health Nut News. She's an amazing and courageous lady. And please stay tuned for our next hour. It'll start in just a few minutes.